And then turning to Lord's Day 38, we read this question: what does God require in the fourth commandment? Answer: first, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, and we'll read the entire chapter. Let us give our attention to God's word. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as He has said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this place, "they shall not enter my rest." Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again He designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered His rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from His. Let us, therefore, be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Beloved in the Lord, we live in a restless world. The world seems to be always in pursuit of something, something more, something other. And even prior to the restrictions and the shutdown of non-essential business, for many their work week was only a necessity to earn some cash to pursue the pleasures of the weekend. And even though the restrictions and social distancing and isolation has changed things. I think there's still a restless pursuing that is going on. There's a restless need to know. There's a restlessness in wanting to do. And so some people read online endlessly, watch news conferences every day. Others cook, paint, record private concerts, do yard work they've never done for years. And obviously some of this is good. There's an element of good here. We've been created to contribute. We've been created to subdue the earth. We might even say we've been created to sub-create or recreate. But we do have to come to this question. Why can some people not stop? Why is there such a pressure to do? You see, this restlessness that fills society also fills the church. And maybe in a different way, but certainly in the evidence that, at least in part, we need busyness in the church. And sometimes there's the idea that more will be better. We need to do more. That will be better. And what was supposed to be a place of worship is turned into a place of activity. And suddenly the calendar is double booked and triple booked. And it's not just the calendar that's full, but it's people that are over full with pressure, stress. And the personal pressure barometer signals warnings, and yet we don't heed the warnings and we just continue in our busyness and restlessness. That's why, beloved, we're thankful again that God reminds us of the possibility of rest. True, contented, peaceful rest. And the question this morning is, are you restless or resting? Are you restless or resting? Our text is Hebrews 4, 8 through 13, but I just want to reread verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. With God's help, we want to understand Sabbath rest, including our need for it, the purpose of it, the keeping of it, and warning within it. First, we need to understand that the need for Sabbath rest. I trust that as we were reading this chapter, you noticed how often rest was mentioned. And most of the instances are in reference to the Old Testament. There's quotation after quotation. It's a reminder that even as we think about rest today, we need to understand this within the whole of Scripture. Because it was after the creation of the world that on the seventh day we read, God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had done. And it's not just that God stopped original creation and did nothing. But He rested and He immediately blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it apart and said, this is a special day. And then Adam was to take this day. It was a day for Adam to remember the creative work of God that he had just seen. And there's a restfulness there. And there's refreshment in that. We can imagine Adam in the cool of the garden, walking with God, sharing in this peaceful and contented rest. And yet we know that rest didn't last. Adam's sin ruined everything, including Sabbath rest and the rebelliousness of the fall and the consequences of sin and disobeying God. That rest turned into restlessness. And immediately there's pointing fingers and there's contention and there's striving and we see that growing out into the families and society and accusation and restlessness. And what we read from Hebrews was those suffering restlessness could not enter God's rest. Now they heard of a promised rest because the promise came that there was a rest, and yet they couldn't enter it. And as we began reading Hebrews 4, we really began with the partway through a story of the Hebrews, and they heard of this rest as well, the promised rest. And yet as they came to it, they couldn't enter it because they lacked faith. And it's that lack of faith that still confronts today. It's what Augustine famously described. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Moses then was called to lead these people out of Egypt to the promised land. And yet we consider as they traveled, they were still restless. They had been delivered from slavery and sweat and work. But you can almost hear them, can't you? Yes, we left Egypt. Wait, maybe we should go back. We liked the cucumbers there. No, we want meat here. Why do we have to take more manna on the sixth day? Why do we have to work extra? And it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found no manna. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments? I have given you the Sabbath. And that is why you, on the sixth day, received bread for 2 days." You see, they were still restless. They still wanted to do things. They still wanted to do things their own way. They didn't want to rest in what God had said was going to be good for them. And our restlessness is hardly different today. Right? I have seen and heard of children who get up early and stay up late, staring at homework just to please teachers and maybe parents. College students living off of Red Bull, taking extra classes, volunteering all to pad the resume, and attending every possible social event so they're not alone. It's restlessness. Young couples trying to raise their children, feeling the pressure to provide all the extras, feeling guilty about their exhaustion and not knowing what to do about it. Restlessness. And then there are those who, in spite of doctors' warnings and spouses' pleas, still work as much as possible just to keep up their livelihood and their identity. And you see, that's not just out there, that's here. People who sit in church on a normal Sunday. Christian school students. And college students and young families and professionals all needing to cram in a few hours on a Sunday to stay ahead or maybe just to get caught up. We're wrestling with the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. What has man or woman, boy or girl, for all his labor and all the striving of his heart with which he toils? His days are sorrowful, his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. And the conclusion of the preacher is, this is vanity. It's restlessness. Foolishness. And you see, it's restlessness within activity, our daily lives. But then think of restless spirituality. A lack of peace, a lack of contentment, a lack of joy, a lack of purpose. Feeling we don't know, feeling we don't feel enough. The constant wondering if I can rest in this promise. The constant wondering if I do that, will I achieve this? Constant effort towards better and more devotions and better and more Bible studies and better and more activities. More, more, more. This restlessness helps us understand the fourth commandment as it's described in Deuteronomy. Observe the Sabbath to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days do all your labor, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You nor anyone in your house, that your male servant and your female servant may rest. Did you catch that? That everybody in your house may rest as well as you. We have the Sabbath to rest. In an external way, that means stopping the restlessness of our daily activities and our regular routine and meet with God. In an internal way, that means stopping the restlessness of our souls and self-sufficiency and reminding ourselves, calling to mind God's grace. I need to rest my soul in the one who has called me to himself. See, those who believed Joshua and Caleb did enter the promised land. And yet, the promised land didn't take away all their restlessness either. If you look at chapter 4, verse 8 of Hebrews, this is picking up the author's argument here. If Joshua had given the people rest by coming into the promised land, that's the implication, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. But David did write of another rest. David's writing after Joshua. David's writing in the promised land. And he's saying that the rest that you're after isn't this land. The rest that you're after isn't this geography. The rest that you're after isn't this national identity. And so David writes today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Your rest can't be in yourself. Your rest can't be in your things. Your rest can't be in how other people perceive you. You will always be restless then. And the point of Hebrews is, you can't rest in other things. All the way, all through Hebrews, up to this point and continuing even, this is one of the things. You can't rest in sacrifices. You can't rest in priests. You can't rest in Abraham. You can't rest in Moses. You can't rest in David. You'll be restless then. And the author to the Hebrews, his point is this. You must rest in Jesus Christ. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You see, this is why we need the reminder to rest. So let's come back to the theme. In light of Scripture, are you restless or resting? If you think you're resting, is it apparent? Is it consistent? Are you demonstrating that every week? Are you demonstrating that on Sundays? Let's bring this closer then to the fourth commandment through our second thought. We must understand not just the need for Sabbath rest, but the purpose of Sabbath rest. The ancient people had a cycle of 6 days followed by one they were not to work. Why were they not to work? It wasn't just to give the oxen a break. We have a weekly cycle of 1 day followed by 6 days, and we understand we begin our week focused on creation and redemption and resurrection and anticipation of glory, and that fuels us for the other 6 days. But what is the purpose of this first day of the week? It's too easy and simplistic to think that all it means is we have opportunity to go to church and we need to keep some extra rules. That's not the point. The fourth commandment is much bigger than a list of do's and don'ts. Go back to the catechism. The fourth commandment calls us to maintain the ministry, frequent the church of God, use the sacraments, contribute to the relief of the poor, as well as to cease from my evil works, yield myself to the Lord, so that He would work by His Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. You see, to keep this commandment, we need to rest in the truth of the gospel. Rest in the promises of the gospel that say, Jesus has paid it all. I rest in the sacraments. I rest in service to God. I rest in the Spirit's work in me. And thus I begin the eternal Sabbath here. As you see, we look at ourselves, we look at our families, we look at our church, and we realize in this life we won't achieve complete rest. But it points us to the purpose of Sabbath rest. The weekly nature of Sunday is to remind us that our rest is not yet complete. And yet every Sunday, even as we're reminded our rest isn't yet complete, we're called to anticipate the day that complete rest will come and we will physically and spiritually rest. No toil anymore. No engaging in the sweat of the brow. No more wrestling with thorns. Rest. And I am called to observe Sabbath so that I anticipate that rest. And yet, is that how we think of Sundays? Go back to Hebrews 4, verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself ceased from his works. Are you restless or resting? And how is that going to be evident today? You see, because Sunday isn't about coming to church. Otherwise, right now, you wouldn't be observing Sunday. But are you resting? And then it doesn't matter where you sit today. It's important to understand that there's two words translated as rest in this chapter. The one word refers to rest, a general stopping of our work. We see that in verse 8. As for one example, if Joshua had given them rest, the stopping of work and not doing busyness, he would not afterward have spoken of another day. That word is used in all instances except one. And that's in verse 9, where the word is totally different and refers to Sabbath. So we can reread verse 8 and 9. For if Joshua had given them no work rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest day for the people of God. There's people who think the New Testament doesn't call them to observe the Sabbath. This verse proves them wrong. There remains a Sabbath rest day. That word for Sabbath rest day is the same noun that's used throughout the Gospels every time there's a discussion of the Sabbath day. There remains a Sabbath rest day for the people of God. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath rest day. And the purpose of the day of rest of Sabbath then is that you would be reminded that yes, Jesus is Lord of this day and He's calling me to anticipate the rest to come. This life, this week, this busyness is not everything. I need to see above this 7 days on my calendar. And pushing through all 7 days as if they're the same, restlessness to that extent will get me nothing. I need to trust in the God who rested and calls me to rest. And then our faith is evident by Sabbath keeping, isn't it? It's the purpose of Sabbath rest that we would observe what God has said and rest in His promises. And then certainly there's a right way to do that. And that's our third thought, the keeping of the Sabbath. Because how do you approach a day that's given to you as a day of Sabbath rest? Putting on Sunday half best and coming to church isn't keeping Sabbath. Live streaming a sermon isn't keeping Sabbath. Coming to worship when you can or feel like it isn't keeping Sabbath. Just coming to church to validate your confession and then spending the rest of the day however you like isn't keeping Sabbath. That's not resting. But then again, resting doesn't mean doing nothing either. Resting doesn't mean sleeping it off either. Doing nothing on a Sunday but coming to church doesn't mean you're resting properly. You can be just like the Pharisees then. Only take so many steps. Only eat cold leftovers. Only eat warmed up soup. Don't turn on lights. Don't go up an elevator because it might resemble effort or work. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and said, "You're not keeping Sabbath." You see, the reason the Pharisees and so many of us get it wrong is because we don't see the Sabbath day to rest in the Savior. And you aren't keeping Sabbath if you haven't come to Jesus and found the rest that He offers the weary and the heavy laden. And how do you keep Sabbath then? It is by going to Jesus and saying, "Lord, I'm weary, I'm heavy laden, I need Your rest today, I need Your rest this week again, I need Your grace, I need so much grace, I feel it, I can live in it, I can rest in it." And then because You've given it to me, I want to delight in it. I want to take this day that You've given me to delight in it. And you see, that's why Sabbath keeping is such a big part of gratitude and holiness. Because once you know that peace and joy of God's rest and peace, you can come to the Sabbath day and just bask in it. You can relish it for the whole day, and then it's not too long of a day. It's not too much of a day you need to fill with other things. But it's, yes, thank You, Lord. And then to come to worship twice on a Sabbath isn't too much. It's realized as the means that it is. This keeps me in Christ. This keeps me focused on Christ as much as I am called to. And I have all day to do this. See, we keep Sabbath by focusing on Christ and the rest that He provides. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest day for the people of God. And yes, there's some things that we are not to do then. You shall not do any work. Working unnecessarily proves you're not resting in God and His grace and His provision. And it's not work that's dishonorable. That's not the point. We're called to work. We're called to work 6 days. Give ourselves this day to focus on Christ, to hear the call to the means of grace that we might worship the One who purchased and provides rest. And so you might even be one of those called to acts of mercy, compassion on a Sunday. But it still doesn't excuse you from resting. And the issue that comes out of this is, are you living a proper life balance the other 6 days so that you can give yourself to this one day? Are you encouraging life balance in your spouse, your children, your friends? As employers, are you encouraging life balance in your employees so that they can feel they can work 6 days and they don't have to work that extra day? You can hardly expect someone working, I don't know, 70, 80 hours a week in 6 days to keep their life balanced enough so that their Sabbath is a day of rest. And if you're working on a Sunday because you have no other time to work during during the week, maybe you need to reconsider your week. If you have to get groceries on a Sunday because you have no time the rest of the week, there's something wrong with your week. And the question then is, how do my 6 days have to change so my Sabbath can be real? And this doesn't just apply to routine weeks, this applies to busy weeks as well. I want you to think about this, students. Because you come to finals, you come to exams, you come to summatives, you come to projects and internships and all the pressures of grades and scholarships and job opportunities come on you in 2 weeks. 3 weeks. Are you going to give in and use 7 days to complete your work? And tell God, my academic career is more important than the command to honor your son? It's even Christian school students who feel they have so much homework they need to get through it on Sundays. There's a contradiction here. It's God's gift to us that He tells us to take a day off. And God didn't give us the Sabbath so we can come up with a whole list of do's and don'ts. God gives us the Sabbath so we'd have this day to focus on resting in His goodness, His covenant faithfulness, His mercy, His gifts, and we respond in faith. And it's obviously the Sabbath is not the only way we rest in Christ, but it's given to us to be one of the ways we rest in Christ. There remains a Sabbath day rest for the people of God. And you see, if the people of God honor this properly, it becomes an evangelistic tool. Why don't you work on Sundays? How would you answer the question? I don't work 7 days a week because I rest in anticipation of a greater and complete rest that Jesus Christ, my Savior, has accomplished and purchased for me. And I'm anticipating glory. No wonder God said through Isaiah 58, if you turn from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight honorable and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways nor finding your own pleasure, then you shall delight in the Lord. You see, when we're restless, we exhibit our own works righteousness, and what we've delighted in is our own achievements, and yet that ends up leaving us empty and restless. And no Sunday legalism is ever going to satisfy that. Only Jesus Christ and the rest that He has purchased is going to satisfy that. And then every Sunday shouts out to us, does it? Why are you working? Why are you working 7 days a week like the Israelites did in Egypt? I redeemed you from slavery. Remember how God created you, redeemed you, promises eternal life. Do believe, do rest, set this day apart. Even though Christ has accomplished it and promises future and complete rest, there remains this Sabbath day for the people of God. Are you resting? Looking forward to that great eternal Sabbath, the glorified rest. You see, it's not about the church building then, Sabbath. You ever wonder, you know, the Israelites had to travel to the tabernacle, to the temple? They weren't there every Sunday. But they looked forward, anticipated, kept the Sabbath day in anticipation. But that great eternal Sabbath that God describes to us, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of sun or of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. And its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring glory and honor of the nations into it. Glory awaits. There's nothing keeping glory out of eternity. Rather, there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles. You see, there's a warning inherent in Sabbath rest, and that's last brief thought. People of Israel are redeemed from slavery, told to remember, observe the Sabbath day. Delivered from the Red Sea, told to observe the Sabbath day. Taken to the Promised Land, told to observe the Sabbath day. But some doubted, hesitated, refused. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You know how terrible that would be? To know that there's rest out there and you know you're restless. To know that the rest is there. The promised rest, the promised land is there. And to come to the very edge of it and to, as it were, be able to see it from a distance, but not to have it yet. Because you didn't have faith to enter. Why the author to the Hebrews highlights faithfulness. Remember the people who didn't get the rest because they didn't have faith. And now look at verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any one of us fall according to the same example of disobedience. Are you striving for Sabbath rest? Or are you, as it were, seeing it in some others from a distance, but in danger of falling away because of unbelief? You see, here's another way that we experience the not yet. Those with faith can rest in Christ. We must rest in the promises. And yet this rest is incomplete. We know it. It's not false. It's incomplete. And it's not insufficient rest either. It's just not fully realized. And yet we believe that what Christ has earned, this full rest, is coming. And just because we don't experience it now doesn't mean it's not true. It means it's still coming. And if we believe it's still coming, we're called to rest in it today. This Sunday. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath day for the people of God. And rest then is actively obeying, trusting my Savior, the God who promises. The glory of eternity. As the Catechism says, entering in this life the beginnings of eternal rest. This Lord's Day is given to you so that you can anticipate that. Are you resting or are you restless?